Today's May 31st, 2023. Current Bitcoin price is $27,089.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Oh, same old, same old.
Same old, same old.
Yep, trying to stack some Satoshis.
Some sats. Stacking some sats. That's Sunday's a good day for stacking sats. Popping tags. I don't know why. So last time we talked, we did mention about the debt ceiling. And it looks like we have a possible bill that's going through.
Possible. I'd say it's probable.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about this before the show started, and I really can't imagine any politician who plans on keeping their career allowing the United States government to default on their debt.
Yep. I mean, there can be some... what would you call them? Like, you know, as valiant gestures of, yeah, I don't support this, but there's no real opposition to it.
No, and I can't imagine. I mean, yeah, they can sit there and state all they want. Oh, yeah, no, we don't support this. This is going nowhere. But, like, at the end of the day, do you really think they would allow it to not happen? I mean... And you were bringing up some numbers before it all started. Like, what did they pass on that? Do you remember what the increase was?
I think they're going to increase the debt ceiling by $4 trillion.
$4 trillion.
Yep. We're only at 31 right now. So, you know, we'll be at 35 before you know it.
Oh, yeah. No. And I mean, and that's, I think it's only for 2 years that they planned for this to be valid for. And then the thing that killed me, I saw on one part of it too, they said that they were going to cut the deficit by 1.5 trillion.
Think about over that. 10 years.
Over 10 years. Meanwhile, they're going to increase it by 4 trillion in two, or yeah.
Yeah, you know, it sounds like a Paul Ryan budget to me.
What kills me is they just pat themselves on the back for it.
Just kicking the can down the road, but they're not the ones who are going to be blamed for this mess, at least not for a while.
No, it'll be somebody else's problem eventually. I mean, well, maybe not. Who knows? maybe they will get on it. Peter Schiff was quoted as saying, the deal to raise the debt ceiling allows military and entitlement spending to increase and only caps discretionary spending at 2023 levels for 2 years. So, yeah, that's kind of what we were saying. Good job, Peter. Schiff explained the reason the president and McCarthy agreed to suspend the debt ceiling rather than to raise it is to ensure the debt doesn't hit the ceiling during the two-year period. Achieving this by way an increase would require a record $5 trillion hike, far too embarrassing to vote for. So, oh, that's what they did. So they did the suspension.
Suspension.
Yeah. So they suspended the debt ceiling for the next 2 years. That's what they did. We'll see. I mean, it hasn't passed yet, but it's kind of like when they you know, redefine what a recession is, right?
Exactly.
We can't hit the debt ceiling because it's suspended. It doesn't exist anymore for at least 2 years. Wow. So yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's gone through the House. It still needs to go to the Senate, and we'll have to see what the approvals come from there. So time will tell. But the other thing that's interesting that's coming out, and I'm kind of curious what this is going to do to the market starting probably here in a couple hours, is Hong Kong's crypto desk. We talked about this a while back. I want to say it was back in February, maybe even in January. They had stated that they were going to open back up retail Bitcoin trading desk in China, well, Hong Kong. And that's supposed to go live on June 1st. And everything from what we understand is that it's happening.
Well, that'll be interesting.
It will. And I think if the timing's interesting too, where, you know, in the previous bull markets, Asia, you know, North Korea, well, not North Korea, South Korea and China both were strong driving factors in the previous bull markets. And now we're getting keyed up for another bull market and Asia's getting back to the fray again. I wonder if China's just like, well, we don't want to miss out on what that possible revenue would be.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. I from what I understand too in China is it's still legal to own Bitcoin, but you have to go through a licensed, like, over-the-counter trading desks. Like, they don't let you just buy it like on Coinbase or anything like that.
Or Binance.
Which is kind of funny. I'm sure that they do have some sort of a Binance office there just because Changpeng Zhao, he is from China. So I would think that they've got some sort of, you know, okays with each other going on, but I don't know for sure. Different jurisdictions will adopt the right approach to their own market, and Hong Kong is no exception. We're an open market, so while different jurisdictions have different laws and requirements, I think that we should do is based on what we're good at. So that's kind of what Hong Kong's chief financial officer was saying. I mean, it makes sense. Hong Kong is still, I'm sure they have some encroachment of China, you know, the main party of China within Hong Kong, but I don't know how much they really influence the economics of Hong Kong.
Well, they pretty much own Hong Kong. Remember the protests that were happening back before the pandemic, and, you know, they were stop people, like one person in the NBA, like a GM, said something about the Hong Kong protests, and then China just slapped everyone down, and LeBron James was talking about freedom of speech ain't that important and all sorts of crap like that.
Yeah.
I forget what happened because, like, right after that is when COVID came out, but they basically, China let Hong Kong know that they are not free. You know, they run that place.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, and that's the thing, like, is it just the facade of being open? Is that what Hong Kong is anymore?
I think that's really what it is. It's just it is the facade.
Yeah.
Behind that facade is, you know, the brick wall that is the Chinese Communist Party. And they're not really that communist anymore. They're more fascist. But, you know, throwing stones at them, I mean, look at us too, so.
Yeah, I mean, we're not a whole lot better anymore. And we're definitely following in their footsteps in a lot of ways, which I think is the disturbing part. So the synopsis basically is Hong Kong will allow retail investors to trade cryptocurrencies under a new regulatory system, with applications for licenses from crypto exchanges being accepted by authorities from June 1st. The city's finance hub decided to open up to crypto after initial hesitancy because of virtual assets are going to stay, according to the government's Secretary for Financial Services and Treasury, Christopher Hui. Hong Kong, and forgive me if I said that last name wrong, Hong Kong plans to become a major digital asset hub, with authorities imposing risk exposure limits on traders and requiring crypto exchanges to assess clients' knowledge of cryptocurrencies and their risk tolerance. So it sounds like they're going to still kind of control it in some way, shape, or form, like as to how much you can invest. But it'll be kind of interesting to see how much currency flows into the market from Asia coming into this next bull run with all this. So,
yeah, I'm curious to see as well.
And then the last thing that we have on the docket for today was U.S. lawmakers introduced a bill to halt Federal Reserve digital dollar testing, citing concerns for American liberties. Going back to what we were just kind of talking about, like with China, right? They have their social credit systems and all those other things, but they also have CBDC over there, the digital yuan.
Yep.
So we know the Fed, I think the Fed now tests have already started, which was basically for commercial banking systems to be able to, it's almost like a way to bypass the SWIFT system and just have a quicker way to transfer money between banks. But I mean, I could see that easily stepping into, you know, our personal lives in the retail market. So this is kind of interesting. This came out. We've talked about this before. Anytime there's a bill that's introduced, that doesn't mean anything, right?
Exactly. Not until they get enough votes, and I'm pretty sure they're not going to get any Democrats supporting it.
Yeah, which is some.
I assumed it was Republicans putting it forward.
Yes. Yeah, it's U.S. Congressman Alex Mooney. Looks like he's a Republican out of West Virginia. Announced last week that he introduced the Digital Dollar Pilot Prevention Act to close the Federal Reserve Central Bank Digital Currency Pilot Program loophole. The lawmaker clarified the bill is co-sponsored by 14 House Republicans. Shocking. Pete Sessions, Bill Posey, Ralph Norman, Brian Donalds, John Rose, Andy Ogles, Jeff Duncan, Greg Stube, Randy Weber, Glenn Grothman, Ronnie Jackson, Victoria Spatz, Harriet Hegerman, and Bob Good. And of course, they're going to keep a tough game looking, but I don't know. I don't know what at what point they'll actually fold and just be like, okay, go ahead, or what the loophole is going to be.
Well, let's just say these people were genuine in their desire to stop CBDCs from happening. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say if they aren't genuine, but there's not enough of them right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Go ahead.
Though I was going to say, you know, we're kind of talking crap about Democrats supporting all this stuff, but the one guy who is speaking out about this and is on the right side, as far as I'm concerned, is RFK Jr.
Yeah.
And he's running as a Democrat. So I don't know. That part is kind of lifts my spirits a little bit.
Yeah. And right now I think we've got three, you know, people that are going to be running for president that are actually pro Bitcoin right now. So, I mean, honestly, I don't know what the chances are of any of them. And we just have to kind of wait and see. I don't think the Dems are going to give Kennedy a chance.
No, they're not going to debate. Obviously, I mean, Kennedy has kind of a weird issue with his voice.
Uh-huh.
But if they put him up, could you imagine if they put Joe Biden on stage with him? It would be a disaster.
They're going to lock him into a hovel and just be like, okay, that's Joe's not going to say nothing today.
He's going to campaign from his basement again.
Yeah, I'm like, and I can't imagine, like, if Trump does end up getting on the ticket, like if he went in a direct head-to-head debate with Biden, he would look like, I guarantee Trump would make himself look like such a jerk himself. Like, I mean, he would just, because he would beat up on this man.
No, I think, that's what Trump did the first time they debated. And he just basically made Biden look okay because he just looked like such an asshole.
Yeah.
And his whole tact should have been just to shut up and let him elaborate and maybe ask further questions.
Yeah.
When
let him dig his own grave.
Biden would do his thing. Let him dig his own grave.
Absolutely.
So, I don't know. It's an interesting time to be alive.
Yeah, I guess that's a way to... Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we'll have to kind of wait and see. The market's still kind of in the doldrums, and I still feel like everything's kind of waiting, although, you know, not related to crypto in a way, but NVIDIA, their stock went through the roof lately. And I don't
know. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I don't know what, you know, if we're still, because it seems like the tech sector is starting to come back a little bit, but I'm waiting to see, you know, how much of this is going to be once this debt suspension basically gets passed all the way through and it's signed in, like then I'm kind of curious what the market's going to do. Because then after that, we're going to have the next Fed meeting minutes, and then they'll decide whether or not they're going to raise interest rates again or if we're truly going to get the pause. So,
yep, I have a feeling it is going to be a legit pause. Like I said, if they wreck the economy, they're going to get the blame.
Yeah.
They're not going to do that right now.
They're going to wait until the next election happens. I don't know. Maybe not. Who knows? Well, and it all depends on how solvent all the banks can stay, right?
Exactly.
So, I mean, and that's been kind of hushed lately. I haven't heard a whole lot new on that front, but that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I've seen something where a few banks were listed in the FDIC as vulnerable, but that doesn't mean anything yet.
Yeah, I mean, because like when you think about, you know, Silicon Bank, like it was almost like overnight.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're not going to air that dirty laundry until it's too late, till there's the run's already about to start or whatever's going to happen, you know.
The runs have been going on and they can't keep up anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, because somebody somewhere is going to find out, and you know, that sits at the high table. I hate to say it, but that's really what it comes down to, right? They're going to sit at the high table and they're going to tell their cronies underneath, be like, all right, get the money out of there. And then at some point, that's when those runs happen. And
kind of like Peter Thiel.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, well, that's all I've got. Do you have anything else you wanted to bring up?
I think that's it for now.
All right. Well, we do appreciate you all listening, and we will talk to you soon.
All righty. Take it easy, guys.
Bye.